Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
wanting nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love.
Dear beloved, this is Sister Powell. Well, good evening to all of our dear beloved. Tonight supposed to be Sister Leola, but she's unable, but she will be on the line, so I will be co-hosting for her tonight. God is good. He's so great. So we're going to offer a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. We want to thank you that we are able to join at this welcome table to feast of your word. We want to thank you for your presence. Fill us with your sweet Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, that tonight, Father, as we study your word, that the Holy Spirit will abide in our heart and we will believe and also share with others. Hasten the footsteps of all your dear beloved who will be joining us. And we just want to thank you for this opportunity that you have given unto us. Amen. Welcome, my dear beloved, to last day event. And we are going to open the scripture by reading Matthew 7:15 to 21. I don't know if we have a reader. You know, our scripture passage will be taken from Matthew 7:15 to 21. If there is anyone on the line who would like to read for us, you know, I could. It's in front of me, but I want to give you the opportunity that you can read it for us. All right? So I'm going to open the line. 518-650, asking you if you could read Matthew for us. Our scripture passage, Matthew 7:15-21, and warning, as this is the last day event we are studying about, we are warning about false teachers because we have seen what is taking place in the world, even in the school, classroom, even the church. So the Lord is warning us. And, you know, as this last days that we know that he's coming, let us look forward, you know, by reading God's word and hear what God has said to us with that. So 518-650, asking if you could read Matthew 7, chapter 7, and start it from 15 to 21. Can you check your phone if you want to read? Okay.
Matthew, how much?
Matthew 7, verse 15 to 21. Thank you, my dear beloved.
Matthew 7, verse 15 to 21. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for reading the scripture. So the Lord is telling us that a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. So God wants his children to be good so that we can produce the fruit that God wants us to go out and to share other. The reflection, as we may understand, as the reading said, there were false prophets in Jesus' days, my dear beloved, and we have them today. They are the leaders who are popular for telling people what they want to hear. And where these language come from, my dear beloved, even in our sanctuary, right? On a Sabbath, we go and we hear these cool, loving messages on the YouTube. It's all over, you know, because Jesus is love. They love, and we know that Jesus loves us and he wants us to love each other, but he does not want us to love people in their sin, right? And he said they are leaders who are popular for telling people that they want to hear. Jesus says to beware of those whose words should be religious, but who are motivated by money, fame, or power. You can tell all who they are because in their teaching, they minimize Christ and glorify themselves. And Jesus said, false teacher would come, and he warned his disciples as he warned us not to listen to their dangerous word. So we have a loving Father who told us, don't let anyone mislead you, my dear beloved. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive you, and you will hear of wars and threats that we are hearing about. But don't panic. Yes, these things must come to place, but the end won't follow immediately. He also told us about nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, pestilence, earthquake, and all these things we saw that is happening. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. But God is always going to be there to help and to keep us. So we have these words to comfort us tonight. And we do hope that, you know, we here continue to study God's word. So I just want to welcome everyone again those who are watching on the internet from Netherland, those who are watching from Africa, Canada, New Jersey, Maryland, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Jamaica, New York City, Louisiana, and also Tennessee, Texas. We just hope that, you know, this message that you will hear this evening will be able to help us so that we will be ready and be on the guard to watch and to see and to hear all these things. But all we have to do, ask our Lord to help us, that we will feed upon his word so we will know the truth. So thank you again. And I am going to start open the line. Welcome to everyone. 225-337, your line is open. Can you tell
good
your name?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Good evening. I was just waiting for you to open my line, Sister Powell. First, I want to give thanks to my Father, Savior. And Sister Powell, as you was just announcing that how Christ said, beware of all this deception, because he said they are going to come and want to say they are the Savior, they Christ, and they this. Didn't we hear that when we was out there ministering? A couple of people said that they're the Savior. I'm Christ. And Sister Carla said, well, show me your pierced hand. And he couldn't show that, but he showed a scars that was on his leg. She said, no. So I wanted to share my little part here in Matthew's 24. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, Christ gave us his word. And I'm just going to read this quickly. It said, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not that all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left there one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Who can say that? Who can say these words but Jesus Christ only? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. This was my main part to say. Take heed that no man deceive you, because what God says, study and show thyself approved. God wants us to study because he says his Holy Spirit can guide us, that no man, but I'm going to read verse 6 and I'm going to stop there. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So Sister Powell, I am grateful that the Lord has warned us and given us light, that this meant that we be not afraid and terror of things to come, because we have read it and we believe it. It's a problem when people don't believe what they read in the Bible. And the fact of the matter is, when you don't believe it and when it comes, then your heart trembles. So God is warning us and having us to warn others. So Sister Powell, I want to thank you for reading that what we heard, and may God bless. And I just thank him. Thank you for host. I'm driving, so I won't have time to join you. I don't know if I'm gonna get home at 8 o'clock. I mean at 7 o'clock. So right now I'm still in Baton Rouge, so I'm heading towards home. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell.
Amen.
For hosting
amen.
Thank you for opening my line.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Leola, for driving and also for sharing. But we are asking you please to keep your eyes on the road. You know, we will pray, and thank you for participating by reading these words. And these words are comforting words, my dear beloved. So we're asking you to take your Bible and read, you know, put down the scripture that we can go back over it, you know, because this is the time that We are going to face judge, go in front of a judge. You know, persecution will be coming because we know and we heard that the truth now is become lie and lie become the truth. And if you stand up firm for the truth, you know what will happen. So we just, as Mr. Leela just read and said, you know, we have to fear God. We can't fear man. God wants us to fear him, right? And he is able to do all things in our life. So I just want to thank you, Sister Leola. I'm going to open this line, 518-650. Your line is open.
Yes, Sister Powell, me again. Sister Barnaby, I'm calling from Albany, New York. Thank you for opening my line. I'm going to sing this good song. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so unjustly reigneth. Shielded be under his wings, they so gently sustain it. Hast thou not seen how thy desires are being granted in what he ordained? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriend thee. Psalms 113 verse 2. Blessed be the Lord from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 150 verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your high and holy name. Lord, we just want to thank you for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, for waking us up this morning, for sending us on our way, O God, for giving us the strength to do what we have to do. And now, O God, we gather on this prayer line to lift your name and to tell you thanks for your many, many blessings towards us. Lord, it's not because we are good why we are here, but it's just because of your goodness and your mercy why we are not consumed, O God, because your compassion fail not. It is due every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, we put ourselves into your hand, O God. Nothing in our hands we bring this evening. But simple to you we come, unworthy and holy and done nothing good. But God, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for all you have been doing for all of us. Our families, oh God, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, oh God, our church family. And Lord, all those who we come in contact with, dear God. Heavenly Father, we are asking to take this world in charge because this world belongs to you, Lord. The world is yours and the fullness thereof and everything that in the world belongs to you. So, Father God, please, Jesus, have your way, take full control and let everything be done according to your will. Lord, so many things are going on. Sometimes we wonder, oh God, man are taking over, man are doing what they want to do. But God, there is one God. There is only one God. From I was born until now, I hear about God and God alone, and you is one God, Lord. You have kept me from ever since until now. So thank you, Lord. Please, Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness and make us into what you want us to be. Lord, you see each and every one of us who gather in this line. Oh, God, every Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. and those that are silent in the background, dear God. Lord, we need your hands on us. We need your forgiveness, oh God. Please, Jesus, have mercy upon us according to our loving kindness. According unto the multitude of your tender mercy, O God, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. O God, your prayer, your cry, hear to our prayer. Consider our meditation. Hark unto the voice of our cry. For unto you do we pray. O God, use our refuge and strength of our present help in time of trouble. Help us to trust in you with all our heart, O God, and to lean not unto our own understanding. But Lord, in all our ways, help us to acknowledge you, because you alone can direct our path. O Father, your cry. Cover us under your blood, O God. Have your way, take full control. Let everything be done according to your will. You are mighty God, a holy God, an awesome God, a miraculous God. And there is no one can do what you do. Lord, what you say, it's well said. What you do, it's well done. With you, all things are possible. So thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Oh, God, take our life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Heavenly Father, our faith, look up to you, the Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear us as we cry to you, Lord. Take all our sins away. Oh, let us from this day be wholly thine. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. I pray and I give you thanks. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, close the naked, open shelter for the homeless. Freely you receive and freely you give. Thank you for everything you have been doing. I pray and I give you thanks. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen, amen. You have your praise report and your prayer request. You want to share it?
Yes, I have my praise report. Today I went to Washington Park, and I get to know O'Neill, and I see some of the other workers. It was a good day. It was a bad day, but I just thank God and I praise God, because we can meet with each other. And my friends who I did not see so long, Renice and Travis, I will see them today. So I just want to thank God for his goodness and for his mercy. And please continue to pray for me and my family. And pray for the whole world, because this whole world needs prayer. We all need prayer. Without God and without prayer, we cannot live. Because God is the only source for us.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for sharing. And, you know, God is good. You were able to meet one of your new brother, your new son at Washington Park. And I want to thank God that you was able to attend. I wanted us to go, but the day wasn't looking so bleaky. And, you know, I said, you know, I wouldn't take a chance. But I thank God that you were able to attend, and you had also had a good day, right? God is so good. He is praised. Yes, my dear beloved, on the line, welcome to everyone. And if you want to share, can you press number one that I can open your line? My dear beloved, you want to share tonight, you know, is our last day event. Again, you know, and we will be hearing a powerful message that we let us prepare, as our dear sister, Sister Carla, always presents some wonderful quote of wisdom, knowledge for that we all can gain from these quotes. And it said here, we want to thank her each moment, you know, for what she, the work that she have been doing on this line. It said, this case is placed on record for our belief, just what took place, excusing Pharaoh's art, will take place in every soul that neglects to cherish the light and walk promptly in its rears. God destroy no one. The sinner destroy him or herself, right? God don't want to destroy none of us, right? We have to do it by his own impenitence. When a person wants to neglect to heal the invitation, reprove and warning of the Spirit of God, has his conscience become sneered, and the next time he is abolished, it will be more difficult to yield obedience than before, and thus in every repetition, conscience is the voice of God, heard amid the conflict of human passion when it resisted the Spirit of God's grief. Right, Testimony 120, paragraph 1. So, my dear beloved, right, God is warning us, right, that we are to invite his presence, and we are not too big to get reproof, right? So when we are going the way that the Lord do not want us to go, then reproof come by any way. It can even come by a baby, a child. Let us accept it and give God the praise, because you know what? This is the time that we all want to be like Christ. It said here, we want all to understand how the soul is destroyed. It is not that God sends out a decree that man should not be saved. He does not show a darkness before his eyes which cannot be penetrated. But man at first resists the motive of the Spirit of God, and having once resisted, it is less difficult to do the second time, less the third, and far less the fourth. Then comes the harvest to be reaped from the seed of unbelief and resistance. Oh, what a harvest of sinful indulgence is preparing for the sicker. So, my dear beloved, we don't want that to happen to us. So let us continue to be faithful, continue to trust God, so that, you know, God will use us out there as we sow the seed, that it won't be for a waste of time for us to be going out to sow the seed, and at the same time, right, we will not be able to gather, he will not be able to gather the harvest that we have all these years wasting our time. So we just have to ask the Lord to help us. Yes, my dear beloved, you want to cheer? We have a full house, but we want you guys to press number one so that I can open your line, that you can share the gospel message. As we were talking and reading Matthew a while ago, 50, Matthew 7, about 15, where the Lord is telling us, my dear beloved, that we have to beware, right? Beware of false teaching, false prophet, because they will be coming in many, many ways. And God warned us, he warned us, as though he warned his disciples, that we have to be careful. And Matthew said, beware of false prophets, which, right, that's in the word, which to come to you as sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. So let us be careful, my dear beloved, right, on this line. I'm going to open some line here, and I'm asking you, I'm going to open some line. Maybe you are shy to open for yourself, but I'm going to open this line. Okay. 423, your line is open.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Yes, hi. Good evening. This is Sister Carla. I'm at work, but I just want to thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his love, and we shouldn't go by a day without thanking the Lord and for praising him, because we're not here on our own. We are here for a purpose, and we're here because he has made us and created us to be here to glorify him and to show his love to others. And I just want to read a quick reading from Testimony 5, paragraph 9, page 99, paragraph 1. It said, gather yourself together, yet gather together, O nation, not desire, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. We are near the close of time. I have been shown that the retributive judgment of God are always in the land. The Lord has given us warning of the event about to take place. Light is shining from his word, yet darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them, and they shall not escape. May the Lord truly have mercy, because we don't want to be a part of that crowd that's going to have sudden destruction and no way of escape. This is a time for us to get it right. This is the time for us to set our house in order and to repent, afflict our soul, and seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Thank you again, Sister Powell, for opening my line. May the Lord continue to bless my brothers and sisters, and may we continue to be faithful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my dear beloved Sister Carla, for coming and, you know, sharing God's word, because you know what? God doesn't want us to be here as we were talking and reading, doing his word, and then suddenly destruction come down upon us. So he's asking us, begging us, let us to be faithful, right? Begging us that he promised us that he will cover us under his robe of righteousness. And I do know that each night we came on this line, we are praying and opening our desire of our heart is for the Lord to cover each one of us under his robe of righteousness by faith in Christ, so that we will be able to stand on these days and the time that is coming upon us. Let us not be afraid, because he promised us that he will be with us even to the end of time. So thank you, my dear beloved, for sharing. All right. I'm going to open this line. 518-744, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from? God bless.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening the line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and I was just listening in to all the different callers, and hey, what a blessing be on the line. What a blessing to have another day of life. Wow, we've had some real weather here. It's been beautiful weather. My garden is growing amazingly well. It keeps, you get some warm weather, and then it rains, and you know what, I'm looking outside right now, the birds are flying around, a little bit cloudy and dark, but it's beautiful, and I just praise the Lord for another day. He is so good to us, Sister. As you know, he is amazing, and I'm just thanking him for all of his goodness to me. You know, I just wanted to have prayer for my family, my daughter Ashley, and the rest of my children, but really wanted to remember my friend John. I spoke about John. He was a young friend of mine, and he lives not too far from my house, and he comes over, and we talk, about spiritual things at times, and sometimes he doesn't want to talk about spiritual things, about other things, but just praying that the Lord will touch his heart. And John is a Seventh-day Adventist, but I don't know how well he knows the Lord. We talk about that, but sometimes he doesn't want to talk about it. So just pray for John, and want to pray for my mom and dad, too, Sister Powell. Their house came this past week. And I was sitting at a modular home, so there were two halves of it, and they were supposed to come and put that on the foundation this coming Tuesday, and then I have to go out and do some work for them on that. Just praying that the weather will be good on Tuesday for my mom and dad's house to get put on so that they can get back into that scene. We're hoping maybe by the middle to the end of August they'll be living in the new home. So it'll be an exciting day for them, and be happy to get them back to their land, to their home of their own. And, God has been good to them. They have enough money to do that, so I'm just thankful for that, sister. And I had a verse here, and I was just trying to look that up, and you can give me just a moment here. I can't find it at the moment, but it'll come to me here in a minute. Oh, here we go. As you were just talking, this verse is Romans 8:18, and it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And I just think that is an amazing verse. The sufferings that we may have to go through, that we may be going through at this time, are not worthy to be compared to things that are going to be revealed in us, the things that God has prepared for us. So it's an amazing promise, and I just wanted to share that with the brothers and sisters in Romans 8:18. It's a wonderful passage. So, I will stop with that, sister. Thank you for opening my line. I just praise the Lord for the prayer line, for each person on it, and continue praying for me, and I will continue praying for you. I just praying not too long ago for all the brothers and sisters on the prayer line. So please keep me in prayer also. Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for sharing, for coming. We want to thank you for the work that you have been doing and witnessing to John, you know, and I do know that your prayers always lifting up for your daughter, and not only your daughter Ashley, but the whole family, and always continuing to lift up Jarvis, you know, and we know we have a loving God, a God who hears, and we just have to believe that he's going to hear us. And the good news about mom and dad is that the house you're opening, that they will move in by August, and I know their mom and dad is just praying for that great day come when they will be moving, and that's really a blessing, Brother Rick, you know, for all the work that you have put on and you also put in, and also your prayers for mom and dad house to be completed. You know, we want to thank God for God who is doing it. He is the one who giving the strength, also providing the funds for that. So God is so good. All right. 843-206, your line is open.
Amen.
Can you tell your
Thank
name?
You Yes, amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Powell. It's Sister Tymiko from Florida. And I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. He takes good care of each and every one of us. I'm thanking him and I'm praising his great and holy name for today and always. And I would like to read a scripture in Psalms 121. Verses 1 through 8 to share with my beloved on the line today. Amen. And it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8, The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So I'm just so grateful that whatever we're going through, we could turn to the Lord for help, because he's always there to help us. He never leaves us nor forsake us. So I just want to bring that out, and I'm asking for prayer for my children, for my grandchildren, for my mom, and I want to lift up all my beloved brothers and sisters on this prayer line, and Brother Rick, praying for him as well. For you, Sister Paul, we continue to pray for you and his sister Stephanie, and KJ and Carter, Sister Leola, we're praying for her as well, and for Brother Eli and his mom and his friends. So thank you so much, Sister Paul, for opening my line, and I do have a song, but I don't know if your line is busy, so if you like, I could sing a song later, if it's okay with you.
Amen. Okay, I will just, yes, you can just hold on a little, and then I will open your line. Okay, all right, okay. Thank you, my dear. Thank you, my dear, for coming and also hearing. You know, God is good, he's worthy to be praised, and this is the time that, you know, we all have to pray for our brothers and our sisters. This is the time we need them. If there is no other time we need them, is now, as we have seen and even, my dear beloved, what is taking place was in the classroom, right, with our young children, and what is placed to these little children. Lord, I am telling you, we have to keep them in our prayer, and especially our own children, blood children that we have, that God have loaned them to us, my dear beloved. Oh, Lord, let us really present the word to them. Let us love them. Let us cherish them, because the world that we are living in and the things that have been pushed to these little children as a learning, like mathematics, like English, like geography, I'm telling you, you know, and nothing about the love of Christ, nothing about the word. And we know that the word of God is more powerful than all what they are doing. So we just asking our dear beloved, you know, let us continue, right, to lift up our children. And as much as we can, in our prayer, morning, noon, and night, remember. And also the educators, the teachers, right, the principal, Lord, and everyone who work under in that department, let us really remember them in prayer, because they are going through difficult time and a hard time they're going through. But thank God for God's word that he had promised us, right, that, you know, he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So I just want to give God thanks for that. Yes, my dear beloved, I will just share my testimony. You want to, anyone on the line who want to say have a testimony or a prayer request, you can press number one, that I would open the line before we go into a season of prayer. Sister Leola, I don't know if the speaker will be here tonight. You know, a certain time that the speaker come on. So I am asking my dear beloved to press number one so that I can open the line. Yes, my dear, I will just share this testimony. And this is a testimony of praise. God is so good. God is so great. And it is very, very important for each one of us on the line is to show brotherly love to everyone who we come contact with. Everyone that we come, we must not really have any partiality, but people, you know, especially those who are in need, let us show that love and that kindness. Few years ago, my dear beloved, there was some family came in from Africa. And these family came in just like when I came in few years, a lot of years ago, you know, I came in with just two little suitcases, my dear beloved, with my two daughters. And I do remember when I prayed before I came in that God would let me find a church that I would be comfortable with, a church that I will be able to, you know, do the work that God always called me to do. And I prayed about it. And when I came in, my sister, who is a Pentecostal, she knew that Chubulatai belongs to the Seventh-day Adventist, and she got the number for me, right, because I came into them. And I called the number that she gave me, and the first person that answered was one brother, Lou. I cannot forget that. And he was on the phone, and I told him, you know, good, happy Sabbath. I told him who I am, and I am at this address. And I would like to come to church, myself and my daughters, and I'm asking for a ride. And my dear beloved, for that first, just spoke to that gentleman that, like my son, I'm telling you. And he came for us, and we introduced ourselves, and he came for us. We went to church. I then, you know, introduced myself, who I am. I get it to be involved with the community service lead, and we were there all these years. But the Lord took us, my dear beloved, come pick us up, took us to church, took us back home, took us back, you know, come back for us at AY. And that is how he had done it, right through till I was able, my dear beloved, to start it, to do my driving thing, and I get you. So I was loving as I came, and the church welcomed us and the resources, and we were on the battlefield, my dear brother Lo, used to go to the hospital, singing to the mission, and we are all there on a Sabbath evening. So I'm telling you, I was loving, in love, I was welcomed by the brothers and sisters, and I could not say that, you know, I wasn't treated right in the church. So it happened that now my time now, coming now, have my drive, can drive, can go this. This family came in just like how I came in. And after I came in, this family, we go and we nurture those family. And the family, you know, took them, you know, I was able to drive them to church. They want to go to the store, whatsoever they want. And I really, by the grace of God, not me. You know, I was able to carry them. So I just going to cut you a fast forward with this mess story. And it happened that I went away for 10 months, right? And this family never see what Sister Bowers, they're asking, and, you know, they call, and they didn't get no reply. But they were just asking what happened to Sister Bowers they would like. Anyhow, you know, I came back, and I went to a funeral just last Friday down there in my church, and eventually I was sitting in front of the individual, and I felt a hand just hug me around, you know, just put around my neck. And I couldn't turn around because the church was packed, and, you know, I didn't want to make it. And so I barely turned around. I saw her, and I just touched her, and I said, I soon talk to you, right? Whisper. Anyhow, after this service finished, and I went around and I sat down, and my dear beloved, she and her husband was there. If you saw the face of those two individuals, and they hug and they greet, and they were so happy seeing, and I was very happy to see them, you know, to see how the love and the compassion, both wife and husband, and their face was just gleaming, glowing. And I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus. So they invited me home Friday. And everybody know Friday is a busy preparation day, busy day. I never like to go out. But I said, yes, I will go. I had a doctor's appointment. And eventually when I came back, you know, one of my girlfriends, your community girlfriend, sister, took me over and we went over. My dear beloved, I was expecting that we had a group. It was something as a group, you know, because I asked her, what must I bring? She said, nothing, bring yourself or bring a friend. So anyhow, you know, we went over. When I went over and I went inside, I took up and sit down, I sat down in the living room, and I just burst out in prayer. you know, praying, give God thanks for what I saw and how I was greeted, right, with the family, my children. They called me Mama, Mama. And while I was sitting there, my dear beloved, on this line, I'm telling you, tears were just coming down my eyes. You know why? Because of the compassion and the love that I felt into that apartment and into that house. And the husband burst out, right? We sat in there, just we alone, husband, wife, myself, and my other community sister. And we sat there. I was expecting like a group or a crowd. No, but the occasion was for Sister Powell, right? And I just started to, the tears coming down my eyes. And the husband turned and said, Sister Powell, I just want to tell you how much, you know, I will say it's God. Don't Sister Powell, right? God, right? I mean, just a Sister Powell, but all this come to God. Said, I just want to tell you how much we appreciate what you have done when we just came in, when we came in to a new country, from our country to this new country, and the compassion and the love and the caring that you have done for us. We could not forget, you know, God had blessed us so much, and he had blessed us because of the love, you know, that they had received. And my dear beloved, the other person was just hearing and looking and listening, and we were just in the place like rejoicing and giving God thanks, you know, for what God have allowed. Then, my dear beloved, that is just the little part. But now we're going to see the welcome table come. Now I'll go and she said, wash hands, and we wash hands, and we went around in the dining area. And my dear beloved, I am telling you, it was like the guest, the queen, right? And our guests, you know, there, everything actually was prepared, you know, and put there. Things that, you know what, you never know, I am a plant-based people, was there fixed and ready, my dear beloved, for us. And we sat there, we blessed the table, we had blessing for the table, and then we started to eat. And while we were actually Sabbath and funeral preparation, the day soon over, and we get, you know, thanks, and we prayed, and we leave up to the last moment, my dear daughter, trying to pack things, you know, pack up little things that I was able to take. I took them, and I was able to share with other sick and other people who is in need. So I just said to myself, Lord, thank you. So it's a good thing, you know, this thing in Hebrews, allow me, I started to read, and as I started to read, let brotherly love, you know, be seen in each one of us, so that, you know what, God have his people everywhere, despite of what they are and what they is. You know, God have his people out there, and God, you want us to love our brothers and sisters. And I just want to say thank. I tell them thank you. I appreciate everything, and I pray that God will continue to bless the union. And also their three children, two boys and one girl, asking you to pray for them. I still have their mom, you know, taking care of, that God will bless that family. That is my praise report and testimony, my dear beloved. God is so good. So thank you for listening. I know it was a little long. If there is anyone else, I will open the line for Sister Tamika to do their song, and then I will ask Sister Carla if she want to pray for us. We will just ask Sister Tamiko to sing the song. Eight what? Eight or what? Which one again? All right. 843, your line is open. Yeah. 843, your line is open.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Powell. God bless you. Amen. This is Sister Nico. I just want to sing for my beloved on the line. He lives. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah. The Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the hope of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for that thing. He lives. Yes, my dear beloved. He lives within our heart. We serve a risen Savior. I just want to thank everyone who joined, and I'm going to, now is the time that we're going to have some prayer, and I'm going to open Sister Carla line. 523-423-635. Your line is open. Can you pray for us, the entire group? You know, if you can. Four two three six three five. I don't know if you have it so that you can pray for us. All right.
Oh, maybe sorry. My phone's on mute. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes, my
dear. Kind and loving Father, I thank you for this opportunity to pray for our brothers and sisters, for ourselves, for our family and our friends, and all the prayer requests that had went for it, Lord, and all the unspoken prayer requests, Lord. You know the hearts of your children. You know what we're going through at this time. Lord, I ask that you will forgive us of our sins, that you will bless us, help us, and strengthen us. We are weak, Lord. We are in need of your power, your strength. We pray that the Holy Spirit will fall upon us afresh so that we can do the work that we have been called to do, a mighty work in these last days. You said you will pour out your flesh upon all men, woman, child, man, and everyone that will receive you, everyone that would confess their sins and accept you as their personal Savior, Lord. You heard all the prayer requests. You know the hearts of your people, even those that are listening via the internet in Japan, China, Netherlands, Canada, and all over the United States and the Caribbean. We lift their unspoken prayer requests up before you. We ask that you will bless them. Bless the speaker, the message at this time that we are in need of, Lord, a sound of of woes that's going on within the world, a sound of time to get your hearts in order, get your life in order. Take up the weapon, and the weapon we fight it is on our knees, praying and afflicting our soul, and cry aloud and fear not, and lift up our voice as a trumpet, Lord. Help us to be that salt in this earth. Help us to be the light in darkness. Help us in all we say and do that it will be according to your will, Lord. Bless us as we intercede on the behalf of others, as we come in contact with others, that we will lift them up before you and that we will petition their name, their circumstances before you, that you will heal them, that you will guide them, that you will protect them, and that you will strengthen them. We thank you and we praise you for this prayer line, each and every one that's listening and those that are missing. We ask that you will be with them in a special way. You know what's going on within their heart, their home. We ask that you will put a hedge of protection around them and keep them as the apple of your eyes. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla, for praying for us. We're going to go in another prayer, and then I'm going to ask Sister Leola if the speaker will be coming on. And if the speaker is there, can you press 1 that we can know that you are here? We're going to continue. Let's linger a little longer. Thank you, Sister Carlo, for praying for us. We continue. Lift up. Heavenly Father, we come to you this moment, once in bending knees, Lord, giving you all the praise that due to you. You are the Father, you Heavenly Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy wonderful name. Lord, you have heard the requests from your daughter, who lift up us, Lord, with a humble and a contrite heart. We are asking you, Lord, as you hear them, dear Lord, let your will be done. You told us we must ask, we must seek, and we must knock. So we are asking, we are seeking, and we are knocking. And by faith, dear Lord, we know you will allow your light to shine within us, and that we can give you all the praise that due to you, because you are worthy to be praised. We also lift up Brother John to you this evening, one of the brother Rick, Lord, friend, neighbors, Lord, that came over sometime. Lord, allow the words that Brother Rick, Lord, gave it to Brother John, that he will, you know, digest it, and he will come to know you. So we ask you through the Holy Spirit to teach and to lead, Lord, into righteousness with Brother John. And also, as we lift up his mom and his dad, Ashley and Jarvis, Lord Jesus, you know, these our children are on our heart, on his heart. So we ask you, Father, to let your will be done. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your written and your spoken words that you have given unto us. Thank you for the love that you have extended upon us, that you can forgive us of all our many sins and our shortcoming, and for us to keep our eyes fixed and firm upon you, the Almighty God. So we just come this moment to say thank you for everything. And now, Lord, we are lifting up the speaker who should be here at any time, dear Lord. You know everything about that young man, Lord Jesus, our pastor, young Pastor Keane. We ask you, Father, to pour your blessings upon him. We thank you for the resources that he have put into this group and this company. The many times, Lord, he was representing your word day by day, minute by minute, Lord. So we just want to thank you for young people who you have been called and who they are willing to answer and said, here am I, that they can go out with the truth. Bless each heart this one, in this day. Help us to be faithful, we pray in Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Yes, my dear beloved, I'm going to contact Sister Leola to find out if our dear
Sister
beloved
Powell.
Will become.
Sister
yeah.
Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sister Powell, Sister Leola is here. Brother Akeem will be on at 8:30, he said.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
So he may be a little bit different.
Yes, Sister Leola, sorry.
I said
yes,
he
Sister
may
Leola.
Be a little bit before. He may be a little bit before, but he said 8:30.
Okay, my
Amen.
Dear. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Yes, so we will just continue till he comes. Yes, my dear beloved, We want to thank you again for your testimony. We want to thank you for your songs. We want to thank you for your praise report. And good praise report, my dear beloved, of what happened 2 weeks ago in Louisiana. This was a blessing by, and we want to thank everyone for prayer. We want to thank everyone for support. We want to thank you all that, you know, we know that we have a lot of mission ground that we have to cover. And, you know, it was years where our dear sister was pleading and praying and asking. But you know what? The Lord is on. His timing is not our time. So we just want to give God thanks for that work that he had placed in the heart of Advent Light, everyone, that we were able to go down to Louisiana and do his will. And we pray that God will pour out his blessings upon all the hearts that we and soul that we were was touched through his word, through his prayer, and also the compassion and the love that they all got, you know, that they will one day come to know the Lord. So I just want to tell you guys that it was very successful. God gave us a good timing. I mean, on the Sabbath, the last Sabbath, the Sabbath when we were there, we had a little rain. We had to pack up. But boy, that did not stop the soldiers on the field. And the soldiers, them were on the battlefield, my dear, some elderly soldiers. But they were willing, you know, me met some new ones. And they were willing and ready to do God's work. So I just want to give God thanks for what he has done. And we do know that it wasn't us, it was God. And I do remember after the Louisiana trip, I remember Sister Carl had a trip one day. I don't remember the little island. And she went and she had done, I think we have other visitor, other members went with her. And she had planted the seed there. And my dear beloved, after coming from Louisiana, I said, you know what? We remember those little seeds that was planted is still there. So we're praying that God will bless Sister Carl and the group, that we will be able, if we do not go personal, that we will be able to go or help, you know, by watering those little seeds over there, that it will grow and bear fruit. And I also remember Advent Light, you know, were busy, was very busy in the Philippines, and what was going on in the Philippines, you know, were planting also seed. And things that was going on in other little islands. So we just hope that, you know what, God will cherish those little seeds. And also the seeds in Jamaica, in which I am telling you, Advent Light, you know, and the brothers and sisters with their prayer, Lord, it spread for different countries, different little districts, and you know what, God is so good. So I just want to give you God thanks. And although we are preparing and planning still, you know, by doing these little work and you know, we are planning, and also the work that God have allowed us to do in Albany, upstate New York, one at Brother Rick Church, you know, we were there, and, you know, pray that God will bless that one day. We will be able to go back, that we can go into the community, Lord, with those books and those tracts, you know, to, you know, introduce the truth to those there. So we just want to give God thanks in Albany, you know, we want to give God thanks that God have been using this little group in this form that they can go out. And I just want to thank God for my grandchildren, my daughters, and all the grandchildren, them that I met, Brother Rick, Lord, you know, their hospitality and the love that we all got. So tonight, you know, we just have to say, God is so good. He is so great. And as we are waiting and embarking on our speaker, my dear beloved, and as we reflect upon the reading that we are, and as we saw what is happening in this world, and we do know that all these things is happening because they want us to, you know, abide and to stick to the false man Sabbath, because we know if the Sabbath is going to be a test. But by the grace of God and God's strength, health and strength that he had promised to give us, we do know that, you know, we will overcome one day, soon and very soon we will overcome. So as the Lord, the disciples said to and asked Jesus, right, Jesus warned us about false prophets and false teaching, as we have been getting it right and center, right? And lie truth become lie, and lie become truth. And the disciples asked Jesus for a sign of his coming and of the end of the age, right? And Jesus first responded, don't let anyone mislead us, right? Jesus doesn't want no one. So if we will want not to be mislead, we have to go into the word. And the word is the word of truth, the true word, and also the testimony, so that we will be able to stand in this time. He said the fact is that whenever we look for signs, we become very susceptible to bring it deceived. So my dear beloved, the Lord said, look for no sign, just as we said, plan no date, right? Because we saw planning and doing signs, but he told us, he said, when we see these things, we must look up our redemption draw it nigh, right? So he said, the fact is that whenever we look for a sign, we become very susceptible to bring deceived. There are many false prophets around with counterfeit signs of spiritual power and authority. And the only sure way to keep from being deceived is to focus upon Christ and his word. So tonight, my dear beloved, our little command that the Lord gave unto each one of us is for us to keep our eyes. Keep our eyes, as the song said, turn our eyes upon Jesus. He is the one, and he is going to carry us through. He said, don't look for a special sign, and don't spend time looking at other people. Who we must look at, my dear beloved? Let us look at no one. Keep our eyes. So we may be saying, this is happening. Sister Powell is doing this. Sister Powell is doing that. The Lord said, do not look. Pray for her, but do not look upon no one, right? Because if we look upon others, look upon our pastors, look upon our brothers, look upon our children, look upon us, Jesus said, looking on people, we must keep our eyes fixed upon him, because we know that he is the one and he can do all things, right? So, my dear beloved, all we have to do is to keep our eyes upon Jesus. And we know Jesus is the author and finisher of all our faith. And Jesus is there as our mediator, and he can do all things. I'm just still looking, Brother Akin. Anytime you are here, can place your number that I can know that you are here with us this evening. And we just want to thank, we have a full house, my dear beloved. If there is somebody else there want to say something with a few minutes, just a teacher minute before dear beloved speaker come on, you can press number one and we will open your line. All right, I don't see anybody on there, so I'm just going to sing this one verse till our dear speaker comes. There's no other name like Jesus. 'Tis the dearest name we know. 'Tis the angel joy in heaven. 'Tis the Christian joy below. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. There's no other name like Jesus. When the heart with grief and sad, there's no other name like Jesus. When the heart is free and glad, sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. 'Tis the hope that I shall see him when in glory he appears. 'Tis the hope to hear his welcome that my fainting spirit cheers. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. If he will that I should labor in his vineyard day by day, then 'tis well if only Jesus, blessed all I do I share. Praise the Lord. Yes, yes, my dear beloved, we have our dear beloved Pastor Akin, who will be presenting the message. So the next voice you will hear is Pastor Akin, 301-640. Your line is open.
All right. Glad to be on with you once again, with you all once again. Pray all as well. And this evening we will be studying, continuing our study of the three angels' messages, the messages that produces the 144,000. And so, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to go to Revelation chapter 14, and let's go to verse 6. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. Verses 1 to 5, we saw, talks about the 144,000. We've been looking at that over the past few weeks and the characteristics that make up that group. We saw also that they follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. They follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. And so in light of this now, we're going to see that this group is formed because they have seen the Lamb in all things. They're produced by the final messages of mercy that center and are founded upon Calvary. And we're going to see this as we look in verses 6 onward. For this evening, we're just going to cover verses 6 and 7 and go into verse 7. But let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that you would be with us as we study your word. Give us wisdom and understanding. And Lord, help us, guide us, draw us ever closer to you, that if it be your purpose, we may stand among this group in the end. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So it states here,
amen.
And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. And that's one of the reasons that the angel is flying in the midst of heaven. It's shouting down to the earth this final warning message. Hence it is in the air over the people, speaking to the people that are on earth. And it says here that when the angel comes, he has the everlasting gospel to preach. That is the everlasting good news. In other words, it is the gospel that will have everlasting effects. Those who are saved by it will be saved how long? Eternally. And so the effect of the gospel is eternal. Whether it be that we receive this gospel and it saves us eternally, or we reject it, And in rejecting it, many will be lost eternally, in the sense of destroyed, ultimately in the end. But the destruction is final. There's no returning from the second resurrection. And so the effects of this gospel are eternal in nature. But you remember, this is the everlasting gospel. And part of the gospel, friends, as we saw last week, or the week before last, according to Mark chapter 1, if you go in your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 1, it's very interesting how Mark puts it, Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, and you get it, you get the gist of it just by reading verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what then does Mark do? Just like Luke, just like John, just like Matthew, he unfolds the entirety of Jesus' perfect life, his death, and his resurrection and ascension. So in other words, what we're realizing here, and this is how the Spirit of Prophecy points it out as well, that the gospel is the incarnation. It is not just the cross, but it is the incarnation of Christ. It is the very life of Christ, because that is what we are credited with or justified with, that perfect life. So part of the good news is that Christ was not living for himself. He was living to form and develop a life that he can pass on to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can plant in us, that we may be covered in him. But it's not just the incarnation and the life. It is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And this is where it really becomes centralized. Because he was born to live a perfect life, that he might die to rise again to impute that perfect life. But the death was necessary. Because according to the divine law, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. There is no forgiveness. So if Christ lived the perfect life but did not die, friends, sin's penalty is still on us. There is no way of removing the penalty, because the penalty can only be removed if someone dies. The person that dies has to be equivalent to all humanity, right? Because every human has fallen except Jesus Christ. So he comes into the world, lives a perfect life, dies on our behalf. But you remember who's dying. It is God dying in humanity. Therefore, the human nature of Christ expires. And the moment it expires, the debt is paid. Therefore, that means now we have someone that we can lean onto. And as we lean onto him, our sins are taken from us and placed upon him. This is what happened at Calvary. And what do we receive then? We give him our life in exchange for his own life. Oh, friends, it doesn't get better than this. This is the centrality of Christianity. This is why if we proclaim the 2300 days, if we understand the closing of probation, the final events, the day of God as it concerns the outpouring of the seven last plagues, the release of the four winds, the Sunday law, and the transference from the judgment of the dead to the judgment of the living, if we understand all of these things, and think it a soft and trivial thing to spend time on studying the cross, friends, we have missed it. We can have all the information in the world concerning the investigative judgment. We can have all the information in the world concerning the Sunday law and all of the end time events. If we do not understand the science of the cross and truly begin to understand what really happened there, as much as we can understand it in this life, and we will ever be uncovering it as we continue studying it in this life. Friends, if we do not do that, oh, my friends, we have missed it. Calvary, everything else finds its power and its goodness and its perfect understanding in light of the cross. And I'll read a statement to you guys that brings this point out. Many people think it a soft thing to make a sermon entirely upon the cross. And this shows you that many have wandered away from the very thing that makes us what we are. But this is what it states here, and I'll read it to you. This is a very powerful point. I want to make sure I get this, and I've read this to you all before, actually. It's found in Gospel Workers, Gospel Workers, and it's the page is 315. Let me make sure I get that for you. 315. The title of the chapter is Sound Doctrine, chapter 68 of Gospel Workers. The statement is found on page 315. So Gospel Workers, page 315, states this powerful point. The sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin. Listen to this, friends. The sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin. That's the cross. Is the great truth around which all other truths cluster. But it doesn't stop there. In other words, the state of the dead, it's not the great truth. It is a truth that must be proclaimed in this time, but it is not the great truth. The subject of the sanctuary, it is the truth, but it is not the great truth. Friends, the subject of the spirit of prophecy is the truth, and it is an important truth, but it is not the great truth. The subject of understanding the final events from the Sunday law to the time of the second coming and all the events that take place in between is the truth, but it is not the great truth. What is the great truth? The sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin is the great truth around which all other truths cluster. Now, how important is this great truth? How important is it, I wonder? This is why we are looking at this in light of the three angels' messages, friends. How important is it? Because the 144,000 see this in the three angels' messages. If we miss this, we have missed what the three angels' messages is really about. How important is this great truth? It says, in order to be rightly understood and appreciated, every truth in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, if it would be rightly understood and appreciated, must be studied in the light that streams from where? The cross of Calvary. Friends, if we study the state of the dead, devoid of seeing how it relates to the cross, oh my friends, we cannot rightly understand and appreciate the truth as we think we do. If we study the sanctuary without studying the altar of sacrifice, that is the cross itself, pointing forward to the cross, friends, we cannot rightly appreciate and understand every other aspect of the sanctuary. Many people think that if they go deep into an understanding of the state of the dead, in and of itself, they will rightly understand and appreciate it. But there are aspects of it that they will never unlock, because they have made it void of the cross. They have studied it in the light of the truth itself and not in the light that streams from Calvary. Hence she says, I present before you the great grand monument of mercy and regeneration. Salvation and redemption. What is it? The Son of God uplifted on the cross. This, watch this, friends, because this has become a lost art. She says, this is to be the foundation of every discourse given by our ministers. This is why, friends, when we talked about the 144,000 and we went through the seal of God, I made sure I just didn't tell you that, oh, the seal of God is the Sabbath. It's the outward sign. That's the outward sign. But, friends, we made sure that we saw the cross. And how did we see it? We saw that the seal angels recognize. The angels may see an outward sign of us keeping the Sabbath in the end. But the real sign they're looking for is the inner seal. And what is the inner seal we came to realize? When the destroying angel passes over at the end of time, and he looks on the forehead of those who are truly sealed, he sees the sign, Ellen White says, of the cross. Oh, that self-sacrificing principle of love that was demonstrated at Calvary is etched upon the very minds and lives of those who stand through Jacob's great time of trouble, aka the 144,000, they stand through that time. And so, friends, we see that the seal of God is connected to Calvary. When we looked at the 144,000, and we realized that they were stamped upon their foreheads with the cross, we realized why. It made sense. Why? Because they followed the Lamb, that is, the crucified Savior, wherever he went. In other words, Calvary was ever before their minds. The crucified Christ was what they were ever beholding. And as they continually beheld him, his very image and self-sacrificing love, as they beheld it on Calvary, was etched upon their very frontal lobes, to the point that it became the fullness of their being. They could not but be saved, because they were beholding the ultimate manifestation of brokenness and humility. And so, my friends, the reason that we just went through that is because I wanted to emphasize, if we study the three angels' message, devoid of Calvary, devoid of the gospel, just looking to understand beasts and symbols, friends, we have missed it. But if we understand the beast and the symbols through the lens of Calvary, oh, my friends, we got it. Hence it says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. That's his incarnation, the incarnation of Christ. That is his life, perfect life. And that is his death for us. That is his resurrection. Why? Why did he rise? Because one, he was perfect. There was no sin in him. So therefore, sin could not hold him in the grave. For the fruit of sin is death. But since there was no sin in him, death can only last a moment. Why? Because he was paying our penalty. But it can only last a moment because he was not responsible for our sin, friends. He had no sin in him as well. Therefore, death can only hold him for a moment in light of him paying our penalty. But when he rose from the dead, why did he? What's another reason that he rose? That he might ascend to begin the work of giving that life to us, to send the Holy Spirit to give that life to us. Hence, his resurrection, his ascension, and his high priestly ministry is also a part of the gospel. It is also a part of the good news. So through this lens now, the angel says, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. You see that? So it goes everywhere to all those who dwell on the earth. And the reason that God is sending this message to all those who dwell on the earth is because if you go back a chapter, it's very interesting. If you go back a chapter to chapter 13 and verse 8, the beast is trying to get those people. Hence it says here, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 onward, speaking of the first beast, the papacy, it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, speaking of the dark ages, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Interesting. We just read that in Revelation 14. And now it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. You see that? So this is now pointing forward to the future. So all who dwell on the earth, the everlasting gospel comes to them. Why? Because all who dwell on the earth, the enemy is seeking to get them to worship the beast. And if they worship the beast, that is the papacy, then what happens? Their names cannot be written in the book of life. So God is sending the gospel to the very same people that the beast is trying to get the allegiance of. Two powers at war within the world, the enemy and God, fighting over who? You. That's why Charles Spurgeon says, what is the value of a soul that both God and Satan are fighting over it? Friends, you mean something to God. You mean something to him. He loves you intensely, and therefore he is fighting for you. The whole Godhead is fighting for you. Let it not be said at the end of the day that we defeated the powers of the Godhead in trying to save us. But no, friends, let it be that they win in our lives. For them winning in us is to our greatest benefit. And so it says here, when the angel finally opens his mouth, this angel that comes with the foundation of the incarnation of the life of the death, of the resurrection, of the ascension, of the exaltation of Christ as high priest. He comes with all of those things about Christ, the good news of Christ. From that foundation, he then says, fear God. And you see why now this angel could say that? He could say that. He could say, you got to respect God. Why would I respect God? Because God came down to this world for you. He took on flesh for you. He lived a perfect life that he could credit it to you. He died that he could pay our penalty for our sins to release us from sin's penalty, power, and ultimately at the second coming, sin's presence. He arose so that he could apply the blood by becoming our high priest. It is all for you, all for me. Christ is doing this. Therefore, and who's the one who's behind all of this with Christ? God. Fear God, therefore. Fear God. Respect him and give glory to him. In other words, not only respect him, but also reveal him. That is what it is to give him glory. And both are connected, by the way. If you go in your Bibles to the book, this concept of fearing God is always connected with obedience to him. It's always connected with his commandments. You go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and you go to verses 12 and 13. And Solomon says this in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. It says, and further, by these, my son, be admonished. And making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now here it is. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Notice what it says next. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Because God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we're seeing in one of these instances in which what? In which the commandments of God are connected, obedience to the commandments, is the manifestation of an inward respect. Fearing God is to live in harmony with his principles. And the angel says, why should we do this? Because of the gospel. Because all the gospel that the gospel entails has been done for you and I. Therefore, how could we not respect God? Saying with a loud voice, fear God. That is to keep his commandments. And in doing so, what happens? As his holy principles are revealed in our lives, in our characters, he is given glory. Therefore, fear God and give him glory. Why? For now, notice the next portion. The hour, that is the time of his judgment, is come. Now, many people read that in the sense of his judgment, meaning that it is a judgment for us, right? So we're being judged in this judgment. Now, notice when this thing comes. One of the ways, if you want a short way without going, the long way is to go through the 2300-day prophecy, and that is vital. And we've gone through that before a while back. But if you want a short way to show this to the world, that there is a judgment taking place right now, one of the ways in which you can do this, because I always try to find, as I study the scriptures, to understand the long way, which is vital, because we need to know the foundations of our faith and how we came to understand this text. But I also look for other ways in which I can condense it, so I can get, because some people, you have to come right to the point with them. You may not have an entire hour or two to break down the 2300 days. In an evangelistic series, we will. On a YouTube channel, we will, which is good. Or there are times when you're having a Bible study and you can. But there's times when you may not have that amount of time. One of the ways that you can show that this is speaking about a judgment that takes place, that is taking place now, is notice the event, and we've covered this, the event that comes after the three messages. The three angels' messages are found from verses 6 through 12. Inspiration actually points out it goes all the way to verse 20. But just for the sake of the direct messages from the angels, we'll just say verses 6 through 12. So you're going to see the point that why I say this, right? When you go to verse 14, so notice, verses 6 through 12, the angels are crying out. They're giving this last warning to the world. But the next thing that happens after the warning is given, you skip down to verse 14. It says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. That is, according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, the Son of Man is a symbol for Jesus. So I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. That is, Jesus, sitting on a white cloud. Remember, he left in the cloud. Revelation 1:7 says he's going to come in the clouds. One sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, that is, he is a king, and on his and in his hand a sharp sickle, the symbol that he is about to reap a harvest. But don't take my word for it. Verse 15 says, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. That is, the angel came and cried out to Christ, what? Thrust in thy sickle and reap. Why? For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So we're seeing here, this is a symbol, verses 14 to 16, a harvest is happening. Now, according to Jesus himself, when is the harvest? According to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to skip down to Matthew chapter 13, and Jesus interprets a parable that he gave concerning a sower who sowed good seed. Notice what he says here. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to go to verse 37. Matthew 13, verse 37. He is about to unlock the parable he gave concerning the sower and the seed to his disciples who asked for further explanation of the parable. And he says, he breaks it down. He doesn't hide anything. He says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But notice this. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Interesting. So we're realizing, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 14 through 16, the harvest is taking place. But what is the harvest a symbol of? The end of the world. That is, a.k.a. the second coming is happening here. Because the second coming is the event that ends the world. So Jesus is coming to get his people. And in that same process, the world is destroyed. There's no one left behind alive. So what we're realizing here is that from verses 6 through 12, you have the final messages that go out to the world just before verse 14 onward, the second coming. Therefore, that means if we're living in the last days, if we're living at the end of time, if we are living just before the end of the world, the second coming, that means these messages have to be going out now. Because how do we see it in Scripture? 6 through 12, the three angels' messages happened. Right after that, what happens? The second coming. That means that three angels' messages are proclaimed just before or prior to the second coming happening. Therefore, when we read verses 6 and 7, and it talks about the hour of his judgment, the time of his judgment has come or is come, what does that really mean? That means we are living in a judgment hour. Because why? We are living just before the second coming. This is why some call the event, some call this judgment the pre-Advent judgment, the judgment that takes place just before the second coming. We're living in that time, friends. If we are living in the time before the second coming, and the three angels' message become relevant and are proclaimed just prior to the second coming, then that means the contents of the three angels are relevant for us now. That means the judgment is taking place now. We are living in a time of judgment that takes place just prior to the end of the world. Therefore, the hour of his judgment, friends, has come. Now there's a judgment that is taking place where souls are being judged and their cases are being addressed. The reason that this is powerful is because notice how the text, it's a saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory for the hour. Notice, it's not just us being judged. Many people read it that way, and it is true. The saints do go through a time of judgment according to the book of Daniel. Many say that, no, it's just the wicked who are judged. No, friends, both the righteous and the wicked experience their own judgments. On the Day of Atonement in Israel, that Day of Atonement was the Day of Judgment. So God's people throughout history have experienced different periods of judgment, but at the end of time, this is a judgment that takes place just before the second coming. But next time, I want us to realize, next time I want us to look at the fact, we look at this in a few weeks, we will look at the fact that how we stand in the judgment ultimately reflects on God himself. This is why it is called the hour of his judgment. Friends, God is not just us on trial, but with us, God himself is on trial. And the aspects of our lives are crucial, friends, in how God is manifested in this judgment. Friends, this is crucial for us to understand. This is crucial for us to get. And we will look at this as we come back in a few weeks to understand more of this judgment and how God is not just us, but God is vindicated in the midst of the judgment that takes place prior to the second coming. All right? So let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that these things make sense. I pray, O God, that we saw Calvary today, that it is the very foundation before the angel even opens his mouth. The everlasting gospel is manifested. That means that the angel's message are inextricably connected to the everlasting gospel. And so, Father, I pray you continue to guide us and strengthen us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Keen, for that presentation. And my dear beloved, I know this is a warning, as our dear beloved just prayed, the judgment is going on now, and God is warning us of the coming judgment. And this is the time, my dear beloved, as we have read and heard the scriptures, Revelation 14 and 6 to 12, and also, you know, there are the scriptures that you heard. We are asking you to go back and study the word, that study the scripture, and that we have to be getting, not getting ready. We have to be ready now, because, you know, this is the time for this message to go out, right? By full force, my dear beloved. So we just want to thank Brother Akin. I don't know if you guys have any query that you would like to ask that you didn't understand about the judgment and what we are supposed to be doing at this time. You know, we are asking you to take off your cell phone and press 1. We still have the line still open. They did not interfere yet with the line. So if you have any query, you can take off your cell phone and press 1 to ask Brother Akin. You know, so we just want to thank him for what he has done. And my dear beloved, let us study the word, because, you know, if we do not study the word, we will not be able to, you know, hear and to know what the judgment is going to be like, you know, and what we should be doing at this time. And I think, as I heard my dear beloved pastor, with this message of what Revelation 14, 6 to 12 is warning us about, the angel is telling us that this message is to go out to the four corners of the world. And when it goes out, there will be the end. Also, that we should not be able to be setting any time, because God is the time giver, and he definitely knows when you know, his world will become, you know, the end. So we just want to thank you. There is no one else. So we will just pray and close off for this night tonight. Heavenly Father, we come again to give you thanks and praises for the message that you have given unto us, asking us, Lord, for us to prepare ourselves to be ready. Lord, we ask you as each one of us gather here each night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Sunday night, and to hear your wonderful words of truth, both from the Word of God and also the prophecy. We are asking you, Lord, to allow us to be obedient, to trust you, to have faith in you as your representative, as your servant, as your ambassador, that we will go out with a life fully surrender, a life fully committed, Lord, with the righteousness of Christ within us, so that we will keep our eyes, our minds fixed upon you and to present your word. We just want to thank you for this sweet fellowship. We thank you for all our brothers and our sisters who join us. And we just ask you, Father, to keep us together. Thank you for your words and continue to bless you, Pastor Akeem James, as he go out in the field and present your word. Lord, we ask you for your protection and your love and your mercies towards him. And as we lift up our young people, Lord, because we remember, Lord, the time when, Lord, Brother Makin in his young stage, Lord, in the college, dear Father, and he was there presenting the true message, and he's still presenting the truth. So we ask you to cover him under your blood. Thank you, Lord, for every one of us, and help us that we will have a blessed night. Fill us with your sweet Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved, thank you all. And we will meet early morning prayer, and it is from 9 o'clock till 10. And we are asking you to join us, and we are also asking you guys to invite someone on Advent Light on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So have a good night, and we will just close with a song.